We need God's leadership and guidance as our nation decides who will be best to govern us. You can be a day sponsor too. Call toll free 1-877-288-1077 and say, I want to be a day sponsor.
Welcome to Stories from the Heart. I'm Sandra McDevitt. Today on Stories from the Heart, the true story of a priest who hears the confession of a convict, a very unusual convict, one who feels he is atoning for his past sins, even though he is innocent of the charges against him. Stay tuned for a very inspiring but different story on another Stories from the Heart. The Pious Convict. That justice sometimes goes astray and that innocent people occasionally suffer for the sins of others is a fact, which no one can deny. But that unmerited punishment of this nature should be willingly accepted by the victim, and that God should turn it into his higher sanctification, is still more exceptional. A striking instance of this was told me not long ago by a very holy priest who has devoted himself for years to spiritual care of the galley slaves at the fortress of Rochart near Brest in France. Like another St. Vincent of Paul, the Jesuit Father Lavang has given up his whole life to this work and has won the confidence and affection of men of every class and station. I will give the story in his own words. There is a man whose remembrance is engraved in my mind, a man who by his virtues I should rank even above all fathers of the Society of Jesus and all religious of both sexes whom I have known. He is a saint. I use the word deliberately, and I venerate him as such, and yet this man was a galley slave. One day he came to me in the confessional for the first time. And after his confession was over, I asked him some questions, as I often did in a fatherly way with those poor fellows, but in his case, I had a particular motive for doing so. I had been very much struck with the calm, sweet expression of his countenance, which was quite different from the dogged look of acquiescence in the inevitable which I often seen in the faces of his companions. For alas, in this work, one must, I do not say harden one's heart, but look with suspicion on many things which one would naturally be inclined to accept as marks of repentance or intended reformation. What instead, they are only the mask of lifelong habits of roguery and deception. In this man's case, however, I felt there was nothing which was not honest and straightforward. The precision with which he expressed himself in answer to my inquiries, the rigorous exactness and the nature of his replies excited my curiosity. Convicts are generally garrulous in their communications and too glad to weave a long story of their innocence in hopes of deceiving the often too credulous chaplain. This man answered me without affectation, without adding a single useless word, or going a step further than my question required, so that it was only by pressing and cross-questioning him that I at last obtained, in a few short and simple words, the recital of his touching history. How old are you? I first asked him. 45, Father. How long have you been here? 10 years. Are you to remain here much longer? Life. For what are you condemned? Arson. I need not ask you, my poor friend, whether you have repented of your crime. I have often grievously offended God, Father, but of that particular crime I was not guilty. Nevertheless, for my past sins, I am justly condemned, but it was God who condemned me and not man. But what do you mean? Explain yourself. Well, I led a wild and godless course as a youth, indulging myself in every sinful pleasure. I thus offended God very much, and had been very guilty towards him, but not towards the public. After many years of vice and self-indulgence, God suddenly touched my heart, and I saw myself as I was. I resolved with all the strength of my will to change my life and repair the past. But after my conversion, there remained an intense anxiety in my mind, an immense weight upon my heart. Not that I did not believe in His all-merciful forgiveness, but I had offended Him so much and so often, how could I ever believe He had forgotten it all? I had sinned against light and knowledge, and I found nothing I could do enough to make atonement for the iniquities of my youth. An immense longing to repair them came over me, a want which I could not satisfy, a positive hunger for suffering, that I might make some amends to the loving Lord I had so often cruelly offended. While I was in this state of mind, a fire broke out near my house. How it originated, I never knew, nor in what way any suspicion of being implicated in it fell upon me. But so it was, and I was soon after arrested and brought to trial. During the proceedings, when all my friends were anxious to prove my innocence, I alone remained perfectly calm. I felt that I was in the hands of God, and that if He willed that this should be the atonement I had craved for, I was willing to accept it. From the first, I foresaw plainly that I should be condemned. I had certain enemies who managed to give a false coloring to various little circumstances which all told against me at the trial. But I was ready for whatever God might appoint. At length the day came when the verdict was to be pronounced. The jury left the court to deliberate upon my fate, and at the moment I seemed to hear an interior voice which said to me, "If I condemn thee now, I will also take upon myself to be thy eternal happiness and to restore thy peace of mind." And at that instant, I felt a most delicious peace which pervaded my whole being. The jury returned, bringing in the verdict of guilty of the crime of arson, but with extenuating circumstances. I was therefore not condemned to death, but to the galleys for life. I with difficulty restrained my tears when the sentence was pronounced, which would naturally have been attributed to any other cause but the true one, namely, that an inexpressible feeling of happiness came over me, for I felt I was forgiven. They took me back to my cell, and as soon as I was alone, throwing myself on my straw bed, I shed a torrent of such sweet tears as anyone might have envied, and I would have felt happy to buy at the price of any sacrifice. A peace filled my whole soul. It did not leave me in my journey to the hulks, and it has never left me since. As far as my daily life is concerned, I endeavor to fulfill all my duties as conscientiously as I can, and to obey all those over me in all things. As regards to those in command over us, I never look to the commissioners or the adjutants, nor to the subalterns, but to God alone. I pray always and everywhere, even while laboring at the oars. I still pray, and the time passes so quickly, I can scarcely believe I've been here for so long. Hours go like minutes, days like hours. I find it difficult to explain exactly how it is. No one knows I'm here. If they think of me at all, they believe I am justly condemned. And that is true, though not in the way they think. You will not find out who I am either, Father. I give you neither my name nor my number. Only pray for me that I may do the will of God to the end. With these words, he left me. I only saw him once more, one evening when he came with the rest to receive absolution. But he slipped away directly after. I've since tried in every possible way to discover him, but he hides himself from my researches, as he has done from the ordinary confessor of the place, to whom I related his touching story. Twice I have gone back to the place to try to find him, and have always been defeated in my endeavors. though I did all I could to try to see him again. But it is evidently the will of God that he should remain in the hidden path of suffering and atonement, which he has thus voluntarily chosen. He is unseen by human eyes, but I feel myself united with him, and his remembrance will never be taken from my soul. So spoke the good Jesuit father. May we not share the hope with him that the time may not be far distant when this true martyr of penance may be called to receive the reward of his patience and perseverance, and when the unknown and despised convict may share in the glories prepared for those who through much tribulation have entered into the kingdom of God. Thank you for joining us on Stories from the Heart. Today's true story, The Pious Convict, was written by Labia Herbert from The Wayside Tales. The Kyrie was by Robert Coches. For a copy of the story, email Sandra at AveMariaRadio.net or listen again on the Ave Maria Radio Archives. Stories from the Heart is recorded in the studios of Ave Maria Radio. I'm Sandra McDevitt. May God bless the rest of your day.
Missed a show? Not sure if it came from Ave Maria Radio? Go to AveMariaRadio.net. A list of shows and hosts are there. And if you find the show you're looking for, you can hear the whole thing again by going through